You got to get passionate about this thing. If the cross doesn't move you, nothing will move you.
I'm offering you something that's greater than silver and gold. I'm offering you something that's greater than an increase in your pay on your job. I'm offering you a...
There's no shortcuts to the glory.
We've got to get past week-to-week living. We've got to multiply our prayer life. We've got to multiply our effort.
And we are willing to give. God will always give it back to us in good measure, that is pressed down, shaken together, and running over.
Hey, thanks for checking out our Christian Life Church podcast. You will be hearing from one of our pastors or guest speakers, either at our Frankfort or Lebanon campus. Prepare your hearts and your minds to receive a word from God. Thanks for listening. Enjoy and receive this message.
By faith, there's going to be miracles. Anybody that tells you the days of miracles are over is not in touch with what God is doing in these last days. Things are happening. I'm glad to be part of the body of Christ. Amen. You can be seated this morning. We'll get into the word of the Lord here today. I'm thankful for all of you that are here this morning. Thankful for our guests that are with us this morning. CLC, one more time, would you give all of our guests a great big God bless you. Welcome. Thank you for being here today. Amen. Amen. In these last days, you need to be connected. It's not just enough to be a member of a church. You need to be connected to that church. You need to be bought into the kingdom of God. You need to be connected to the source. Amen. You need to be in daily relationship with Him. I feel that I've been in a season lately of direction, not because this season has been easy to navigate for me personally, but it feels like that I am walking in the confidence of God that I haven't walked in maybe ever before in my walk with the Lord, to understand that He's in charge, that He's God and I am not, and that He's in charge, that this is His church, we are His people, we are the sheep of His pasture, and that God is in charge. I've learned to walk in the confidence of knowing that God has everything in control. Thus, I've kind of been saying to people the last few weeks, it just kind of, I think during the awakening, there was a word that just kind of fell into my heart and lodged there, and I have been repeating it over and over again. He's good at being God, and I'm not very good at being God. He is God, and I am not. God has opened my eyes to some things in the spirit, I believe, that I've never seen before, some things that God is revealing, and that's not always a blessing when God begins to reveal some things that God is showing me, I feel maybe inside information that is for me only and not for me to share, and so the wisdom and understanding of what God is doing is so incredibly important for each of us to walk in as God is revealing. Just because God reveals something doesn't mean that you ought to say it. And just because you think it doesn't mean you ought to say it. And just because you feel it doesn't mean you ought to claim it. Sometimes we got to speak against what we're feeling. Sometimes we got to let the enemy know, I'm not receiving that word. I'm not receiving that feeling. I'm not accepting what the enemy is trying to bestow upon me. I refuse it. I reject it. I'm not going to walk in that by faith. I'm going to see a miracle by faith. I'm going to be blessed by faith. Tomorrow is going to be better than today. By faith, I'm going to feel better. By faith, my help is coming. Come on, you got to get that in your spirit that you've got to begin to walk away from what the enemy is trying to put on you and tell you it's bad and getting worse. I reject that in Jesus' name. This is the kingdom of God. I'm part of the church of the living God. I'm not saying that to rev you up this morning. I'm just trying to, this is just a prelude. I ain't preaching yet. Don't start the clock on me yet. I've been preaching a long time. I keep telling my wife every time I preach, babe, I'm preaching too long. And she keeps telling me, no, you're not. So don't get mad at me. All right? So you can just, I'm just kidding. I'll take all the blame. I think the Lord has been revealing some things to me in these in this season of my ministry that I do have to be very careful about. I told somebody the other day, I had a unique experience that I won't go into details. When traveling back at the holidays, going to Texas, and we were catching a late flight out of Houston trying to get back on Saturday night so we could be in church on Sunday, and we went through a security check. And if you've flown in the last decade or two, you know they have the security check that you go through, and it's kind of like step right up. And I feel like that's kind of some things that the Lord has kind of been, he's just kind of been showing me some things about myself that I don't like everything I see. But I feel like I'm in that security check where the Lord's saying, step right up, put your hands up. And he begins to reveal some things to me. And I don't recall asking God for that. There's things I've asked God for that he's never given me. And then sometimes God knows what we need before we ask. And so God seems to insist that it is important for me to know some things in this season. And so I've just been trying to walk in what the Lord has been showing me and what the Lord has been revealing to me. Jesus had 12 disciples, but he left 9 of them because only 3 of them could go with him. And so God has been showing me some things about where we are as a church and where we're going as a church and what he's wanting to do as a church and even who's with me as a church. And I'm just going to tell you something. The enemy would like for us to think that everybody in the world is against us, but I'm going to tell you there's more for us than are against us. I'm not telling you everything that's happening in the White House is in favor of the kingdom of God, but I'm telling you there is more for us than are against us. Because if God be for us, my Lord, I feel like preaching and I'm not even ready to preach yet. If God be for us, who can be against us? So we got to stand on that, and we got to stand on that word and know where we're going and know who's going with us and understand what God is doing in this season. And that's why we've been through maybe more than a season, maybe we've been through a decade or more in this church of becoming more and more sensitive to the Spirit. But in summation, as we reach the conclusion maybe of a season, and as there is an adjustment that's happening in the atmosphere, in case you are not aware, let me make you aware that there are some adjustments that's happening in the atmosphere. In the next 4 weeks, we're going to be experiencing a total lunar eclipse. And this is important. I told somebody the other day that what God does in earth is a sign of what is happening in the spiritual realm. What does that have to do? I didn't come to prophesy or to speak prophecy over anybody this morning, but I'm telling you, as we see an alignment of the planets and of the things, and as darkness is going to move just on the other side of gross darkness and total blackout, they're telling us, fill up your cars with gas and make sure everything's up and have food and be ready. I don't know why they're talking all of this, because on the other side of that, the brightness of the sun is going to come just on the other side. Let me try to help you understand what I feel God is doing in the atmosphere, in the spiritual realm. And that is that there is an alignment. God is aligning some things, and God is aligning some people. And when there is a perfect alignment and there is gross darkness in the world, get ready, because just on the other side of that, that darkness is only going to last for a few moments, but on the other side of darkness, on the other side, there is going to be a light that is going to come forth. And the same sun that was shining before is going to shine afterward, and it's going to be brighter than what we have ever been able to see it before. I just feel like God is doing this in the atmosphere. I particularly feel for today, Joel chapter 2. And I believe that this is for maybe this year, particularly this season of transition that we're in. You don't have to stand this morning for the reading of the word of the Lord. Joel chapter 2, verse 21. Fear not, O land, and be glad and rejoice. Why don't you read that next line with me? For the Lord will do great things. Be glad then, ye children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God. For he hath given you the former rain moderately, and he will cause to come down for you the rain, the former rain, and the latter rain in the first month. And the floors shall be full of wheat, and the vats shall overflow with wine and oil. And I will restore to you the years of the locust hath eaten, and the cankerworm, and the caterpillar, and the palmer worm, my great army, which I sent among you. I preach from this subject, from this passage, many times, but I feel a fresh word that the Lord has given me for this church, for this season, for this day. This season that we are moving in is not so much about taking new territory. Now, I'm being slow here at the beginning this morning, because I want you to grasp what I'm saying. I may not hype you up this morning, but I want you to walk out of here understanding every word that I'm speaking to you. I don't believe that this season is about taking new territory. That season is coming. We have been through a season of taking territory, and now we're in a season of taking back what the enemy has taken from us. A few days ago in a boardroom meeting, Brother David Townsend, as we closed, by the way, I'm just going to say to this church, if you weren't here to hear the report that was read at our annual business meeting, I said this, and I'm going to say this again. We had perhaps one of the most incredibly encouraging board of trustee meetings a couple of Saturdays ago when we met, and the conclusion of that, faith just rose in that room as we were gathered. Brother David Townsend spoke something, and he said, this is the year of recovery. We're recovering what was lost. I want you to understand something. This is a restoration of what has been held back, not because we were doing something wrong, but because it was not time. But the Lord is saying to this church, the time, I feel the unction of the Holy Ghost this morning, the time has come that restoration is no longer coming. Restoration is now. It is upon us. So now you don't have time to prepare for the restoration, because it's here. We've been through the season of you getting ready for the restoration. And if you miss that season, you've got to work doubly harder. You're going to miss your season of restoration. And here's what's going to happen. You're going to show up, and everybody else is going to be restored, and you're not going to be restored. And you can't blame it on God or anybody else, because we've been through a season of prayer and fasting where God was preparing us for what he is wanting to do. Now the season is here, and God is saying, now now. I am beginning to do it. Now is the time. This is the day. This is the hour. This is why it is so very important for every one of us to understand there are some things that we have lost. There are some years that we have lost. There are some things that the enemy has come in and taken from us, has stolen from us some years that he has taken, and people have walked away from God. But I'm going to tell you what's going to happen in this last hour. It's going to be the last hour revival that people that have walked away from God are going to walk back into the kingdom of God, and God is going to restore them, and God is going to elevate them, and God is going to use them like they never walked away. Hear me, it's going to upset some folks because you're not going to understand why I've been faithful all this time. But in the last day revival that is coming in this season, I feel the Holy Ghost this morning. God is going to restore what the palmer worm and the canker worm has taken away, and there is a harvest and there is a restoration of some backsliders and some folks that have walked away from truth and walked away from God. And God is saying, in these last days, I am going to restore what has been taken. The Lord said, I will cause the former rain and the latter rain to come down together. But I feel that there are some steps that we're going to have to take if we're going to see that restoration and recovery personally. Now understand this. In the kingdom, there is a season that I believe God is moving us into of restoration and recovery. This is kingdom. This is going to be worldwide. I believe this is what God is doing in this season. And this is kingdom. And what happens in the kingdom is purposed for every assembly, for every church, and for every child of God. But if we expect that God owes it to us, then it's never going to happen to us. Because the first thing we have to understand, God doesn't owe me anything. You ought to be grateful that he woke you up this morning. You ought to be thankful that you've got health and that your kids are healthy and that you're still we need to be careful to be thankful over the small things that God is doing in our life. I'm going to talk to you for a little bit this morning about small things, because it is not the great things that I'm going to speak about that is going to set us up for this last day revival of restoration and recovery, but there are some very small things. Do you know one small adjustment in your life could change everything in your future? Lifestyle adjustments are much better than crash dieting. Top healthcare experts were chosen to sit on a research committee to find the major cause of most health problems and discover what we can do to lower our health risk. The amazing conclusion that small things are the cause of major medical things is overwhelming. I don't know if I'm the only one. I get frustrated when I go to the doctor because I have something wrong. No matter, I mean, I can have a neck pain, a back pain, a shoulder pain, or a little finger pain, and they tell me, well, here's what you need to do. You need to lose weight. You need to exercise. You need to start eating more healthy. You need to reduce stress. I got a finger pain. Am I up here all by myself this morning? There anybody here? Y'all don't go to doctors. They don't tell you all that. They tell you, here's a pill. It fixes everything. This is the amazing conclusion of the research. This is a real research. Here's what they say. The top five things that Americans need to do to fix health crisis that we're dealing with. The first is alcohol abuse needs to cease. The second is smoking. The next three I just mentioned to you, overeating, too much stress, and too little exercise. Now, I don't have any problems with one and two. But three, four, and five, I need a pill for that. The startling thing is that most of us already know this. Can I get a witness? These are truly small things that we can do that will affect our lives in a very real way. And I want to impress upon this congregation this morning that big things are usually a conglomeration of small things. Anybody with me this morning? One of the greatest mistakes that many people make is not realizing the danger and the power of small things. It's not the big things that we need to worry about most. It is the small things that we let grow in our life that become big things. This is why it is so very important that the wrong mindset on a daily basis can chart our course to a destructive end. This isn't a therapy session this morning, but I'm trying to help us understand this is why small habits like waking up in the morning and the first thing we do not being going to social media or reading the news, but the first thing we do every morning is say, thank God you woke me up. God, I am a blessed man today. I'm not even out of bed yet, but I'm just moving and I feel my fingers and my toes. And Lord, I feel like you just blessed, and start with just some small things. I'm going to help you. If you'll pay attention to me today and what the Lord has given me to say to this congregation, there is going to be a change that is going to come over this congregation, because here's what we're trying to do. We're trying to tackle small things by going into a 40-day fast, ending it, and it being over for the rest of the year. But the Lord is not pleased with that. Because the whole purpose of the 40 days is for us to have an extended period of time to develop some habits in our life that we carry with us throughout the rest of the year. If you want to know why our services are powerful from the beginning of the year through January and February, it is because we are praying and fasting. But some of us don't even get 4 days past the end of the fast to the flesh. It's all of a sudden all reared back up again. I'm not coming to tell you you've got to live on a fast, but I am telling you what you've got to do. You do have to die daily. You do have to get the flesh under control. You do have to understand that I'm just blessed to be here. Good morning, Jesus. I still have breath, and I'm going to praise you. Things may not go well at home, on my job, or in my finances, but God, you're still God, and I'm blessed to be your son. Because dealing with these small things are paramount for every successful life. So for every one of us, what I'm challenging you to do today is for there to be a mindset shift that says, I'm not going to wake up tomorrow and become an extremist. I've talked to my sons many, many times about the importance a balance, whether it is eating habits, whether it is sleeping habits, whether it is praying habits, whether it is consecration habits, whether it is worship habits. Listen, I'm not expecting that those who want to blame it on your birth personality of why you don't worship, for tonight when the music begins, for you to break out and run the aisles and shout and dance in the Holy Ghost and everybody go, wow, I don't know what happened. I'm not expecting that to happen. But I will tell you this, what you were born with has to die, and you must be born again. And some of us that have been born again need to be born again, again. What does that mean? That means we were born again, but we went back and built some things that we had once destroyed. And the Bible said, if we build again the things that we once destroyed, that we have become a transgressor. Am I in the Word of God today? And then it says, the way of a transgressor is hard. And then we wonder, why is life so hard? Because what we did was we got born again. We got re-energized on the 40-day fast, but as soon as it was over, we went back to every old habit. I'm not just talking about what you're eating or what you're drinking. I'm talking about your daily habit of how you're living, the attitude, the spirit, how you are responding. Here's what's got to happen. We've got to walk in every service and say, God, this is going to be the new me. I haven't been responding during the worship of the service. I haven't been responding because the old flesh doesn't like to have it. Listen, don't brag about the things of this old flesh, because that old flesh needs to die. Well, it doesn't do it for me, and it's not what I like, and it's what that needs to die, because it's about what he likes and what he deserves. And so if I hold my hands and say, I'm not going to worship, I'm doing him an inservice and injustice and doing him a lack of service, because it's not my praise to withhold. It's his praise that belongs to him. And so while I'm not expecting somebody that's not accustomed to praising to break out and start running aisles all in one service, what I'm telling you, you can break the mold that you have been living in. Because if your life is hard and you are not a worshiper, I dare you to show up to church and say, tonight I'm going to be intentional about lifting my hand every time I have an opportunity. I'm going to be intentional about changing the small things in my life. I'm going to just clap a little bit because I don't normally clap. I'm going to open my mouth, and I'm going to express to him how I feel with my words. It is the small thing that is going to change the big things. Small things come in, big things come in small packages. Now, the startling thing is most of us already know what I'm telling you. That small thing can affect our life in a very real way. Now, I'm not coming across today as self-righteous or overly ambitious, but I want to impress upon us today that we must stop putting off to tomorrow, because what God is wanting to do in this season is not coming, it is here. If you will make the incremental adjustments starting today, what you're going to do is you are going to look back and say, wow, things are already better. I know that in public speaking and preaching, it's not good to use yourself as an example, but I have to, because I don't want to call anyone out this morning, so I'm going to use me as an example. During the season of prayer and fast, my wife and I chose to take 40 days of prayer and fast. And during that 40-day fasting season, we did the Daniel's fast. And a couple of days during that season, we chose to go beyond that and do a little more. But while we were on that season of fast, the first week, the model that we follow is incremental. The first day, we take away meat and media. And the second day, we take away, I don't know, it's whatever it is. We have a little paper that we follow, and it's bread and sugars and dairy and all this sort of thing all the way down until at day 7, we are totally on a pretty couple of things that we may do that's not according to the written rules of Daniel's fast that we may do or allow ourselves. Now, this isn't a rule of Scripture. Understand this. This is a choice. This is the way that we went about this. So don't build doctrine off of what I'm telling you. This is how we went about it. And for those that think that that's not a sacrifice, just attempt to do that for 33 days. And you'll find what kind of sacrifice it is, particularly when you are a meat eater. Jesus, and I love milk and cereal and milk with everything. I'm a milk drinker. And so it's tough. I had to put that aside. My wife, she can make a meal out of nothing but bread. She just likes bread and butter. And so it's a sacrifice to put these. So when we got on this, day one, day two, three, four, five, I'm talking about after we finally did the countdown and got into the strong. As a matter of fact, I probably felt worse. There was a few times that I looked at my wife and said, I need a Coke. I mean, I need one. And she would say, well, babe, go get a Coke. Shouldn't make me so angry. Get behind me, Satan. She'd say, go get a Coke. I can't ask the church to do this if I don't. Oh, it was tough. And I would literally feel bad. Those of you that's been there with me understand where I'm going with this. Headaches, weakness, exhaustion, tired, need energy. First week, second week. But there's something I noticed along about the third week, after about 14 or 15 days. Everything okay? Am I making y'all nervous? I'm not calling another Daniel's fast. I was expecting somebody to get up and shout right there. Long about day 14 or 15, I just noticed I'm feeling human again. And then along about day 18, 19, 20, and from there until the end, I am feeling better than I was feeling before I started. Now, are you with me? You okay? My point is that the beginning of small things felt worse at the beginning because it was adjusting everything from schedule to habits to cravings. And so there was an adjustment of small things. But then I started feeling better than I was feeling before I ever started. I'm trying to encourage somebody this morning to tell you that when you begin to make adjustments, don't think your body's not going to fight you. The devil's going to fight you. Everything around you is going to fight you because you were changing habits and you were changing addictions and you were changing patterns in your life that you have been living with sometimes for many, many years, sometimes for a lifetime. And you're going to feel worse and it's going to make you grouchy and you're going to feel like, I don't even know why I'm doing this. I'm going to give this. I'm just going to go back to being where I was. Come on, you got to get Egypt out of you. You don't just have to leave Egypt. You've got to get Egypt out of you. And when you get Egypt out of you, then everything in your life will change. Come on, somebody. I'm talking about the small things. And you're going to look back and say, I thank God for the day that I started. I hadn't got to my notes yet. Am I preaching long today, Annette? Thank you. The small things, the small adjustments. Now, this doesn't mean too much to some of you. I chose to not get on scales because I didn't want anybody to say, well, this is a diet plan for pastor. So I didn't get on scales the whole time, stayed off. I weighed before I started. And the day that we were doing communion and foot washing and going to break the fast that day, I chose to step on the scales and see. And I was shocked. Because I had only lost 12 pounds in 40 days. And I started to be disheartened. And I thought, 40 days, if I do that 9 times for the year, that'd be 100 pounds over the course of a year. Wow. I'm trying to help somebody to understand. I worked with my boys about balance. They had mentors in their life, and it was good for them in a season, and now they're moving into a season that they're understanding what I'm talking about. That extreme things. One of my sons went on a 40-day fast. I think he made it 33 days or something. And I challenged him at the end of that fast, as he ended that fast very sick. And I challenged him. I said, gent, if you will fast one day a week all year long, you're going to fast 52 days versus a 33-day fast that killed your body. Now, I'm not against somebody going on a 3-day fast or a 5-day fast or 7-day fast. If God leads you into it, some of our young men, some of our young ministers feel led to go on fast, and we keep that private. And I thank God for that, and it's good. It's seasons. But what I am telling you are the small adjustments that you can make in your life, the small things that you do today and you do consistently. When you look back, you will begin to see that it is doing more for you than trying to jump in and doing something big. I dare you to pick up your Bible every day and say, I've been living without this word, but I'm not going to sit down and try to force myself to read an hour. I'm going to sit down and open this word, and I'm going to read for 5 or 10 minutes and do that every day and watch what happens. As a matter of fact, if you'll sit down and give about 12 to 14 minutes a day to that, you can read this word through its entirety in a year. If you will give yourself, come on somebody, if you will give yourself a little time every morning and every evening in prayer, you're going to start looking back and saying, everything in my life is looking different. If you will just decide, I'm going to stop making it a habit of showing up here and missing here, but I'm going to make it a habit of faithfulness, daily walk, faithful in every, you're going to begin to see dividends that is going to pay huge. Lift your hands right now and pray the help of the Lord on me right now. In the name of Jesus, Lord, I need your help right now as I am trying to deliver what you have put in my spirit for this morning. God, I'm praying right now that the anointing of the Holy Ghost and the unction of your spirit falls upon this congregation today, and they grasp what I am preaching into their spirit right now. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Somebody give the Lord a hand clap of praise this morning. I won't be much longer, but I got to take the turn into what I'm trying to say to you this morning. It is that God is wanting to restore to us what the years, everybody say the years of the palmer worm and the years that the canker worm have destroyed. They're both small. They're not large. It's not turning a herd of elephants into the cornfield, but it is a small thing that gets in and begins to eat away and destroys your heart. It is the small thing, but God is saying that I am going to restore. Everybody say restore. I want to restore with the little habit things that you allowed to get in your life and destroy your harvest, destroy your joy, destroy your peace. The Lord has sent me this morning to tell somebody, I, the Lord, am wanting to restore what the enemy has taken, what the enemy took out day by day by day, I can restore it, and I will make it all come down together in one season. But you've got to make up your mind that I am going to make the adjustment on my daily walk, in my daily life. I'm going to get prayer back. I'm going to get Bible reading back. I'm going to get joy back. I'm going to change my face and change my words and change my attitude so that God can restore me. Stand all over the room right now. Lift your hands toward heaven. God is speaking to hearts in this room right now. People that have walked away from God. And it was small things that took you away. It was small things that took you away from your prayer life. It was small things that walked you away from where you once were. But today God is saying, I will restore if you will make the small step of saying, I'm coming back to the place I was. Oh, the Lord's reaching, lifted hands all over this room. Let's pray, church, all over the room right now. Lift your voice in prayer right now from the front to the back of this room. Everybody praying out loud, praying the Holy Ghost right now. God is wanting to do something special in somebody's life this morning. There is restoration here for you. There is joy here for you. God's wanting to do it for you today. The palmer worm took it. The canker worm took it. The caterpillar took it. But God is the restorer. He's the restorer of the small things. All you got to do is make up your mind. Yes, God. Yes, God, I'm going to get up today and I'm going to make the difference. The small thing, I'm going to do it every day. I'm going to do it every day. I'm going to put the small things back in my life. Come on, somebody. The Lord is speaking to somebody right now. Your whole family, you ought to grab your whole family by the hand and walk in them to the front of this room and declare, we're bringing prayer back to our home. We're bringing prayer back to our living room, back to the bedroom. We're bringing prayer back to our home. We're going to make some new habits. We're going to bring back some old habits that we allowed time and life to take away from us. We're coming back and making some small adjustments so that God can reign and rule like he has in times before. For the season of restoration is upon us. God is wanting to restore the joy of our salvation. God is wanting to restore some things that we have walked away from. God is wanting to bless you in ways that you haven't been blessed in a long time. Come on, there is a restoration for you today. Come on, these altars are open. There's room for everybody. I wish you would all receive this word this morning. I wish everybody would receive this word this morning. Come on, change the habit of not participating and just say, I'm stepping out by faith. I'm going to say yes to God. I'm going to make the small step today and let God do what he will in my life. Come on, somebody, seek the Lord today. Seek the Lord today. Oh. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Come on, things are going to be better. Make that commitment to small adjustments in our life. God's not calling you to extreme changes today. He's calling you to the daily walk. He's calling you to the small steps. Come on, let's let's push beyond the habit of just walking to the front, but let's engage in prayer right now. Let's engage in prayer and seeking the Lord right now. Engage in seeking the Lord right now. He's here. He's for you. He's with you.